like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. May God bless our understanding of this sacred story. And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sorry, I'm not doing anything fancy. My colleagues like to preach on this cushy rug, and I can't stand it. So I forgot to move it before. So now I feel like I'm on solid ground. Felt like I should pop up, like, surprise! As I said, I have jet lag, and I'm a little loopy. So hold on. As many of you know, I just returned from nearly 2 weeks of travel as part of my Doctor of Ministry program. My cohort took a pilgrimage to the Isle of Iona, one of the Hebridean islands off the coast of Scotland. Iona has long been a magnet for Christian community and pilgrimage. St. Columba founded a monastery there in the 6th century, which thrived for centuries until time and Vikings took their toll. Benedictine monks later built a great abbey in the midst of the original monastery's ruins. That monastery and its sister convent closed after the Reformation reshaped the religious life of Scotland. The great Iona Abbey stood empty for a spell until a minister from Glasgow in the 20th century transformed it into the heart of an international movement for peace, justice, spirituality, and worship renewal. I've lost count of how many friends I've had who have journeyed to this island. It's an arduous journey. To get there from Glasgow, you take a train to Oban, a ferry to the Isle of Mull, a bus along a very windy one-lane road, and another ferry to the Isle of Iona. By the time my companions and I arrived, we were weary, but full of anticipation. A hush fell over our normally chatty group as we stepped from the ship to the dock. We were full of all these testimonies and legends about Iona. The isle has famously been called a thin space, a place where heaven and earth touch, where only tissue paper separates the material from the spiritual. As we made our way to the St. Columba Hotel, I felt an unfamiliar mix of emotions wash over me. There was a good amount of hope that I would, in fact, encounter the divine on this storied bit of earth. There was a streak of anxiety that I would not. And if I'm to be completely honest, there was also a little cynicism. It felt like a lot of pressure to have a profound spiritual experience on Iona. And in my experience, you can't force profound spiritual experiences, no matter where your feet may trod. Friends, I can say in no uncertain terms that I did have some profound spiritual experiences on my pilgrimage. But as lovely as Iona was, I'm not sure I can credit the island. My experiences were pure Pentecost. According to St. Luke, 120 believers remained after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. In the days since Jesus departed from their presence, they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. On the day of Pentecost, the believers held the festival held on the 50th day after Passover. These believers gathered in one place. They shuffled past the raucous celebrations enlivening the streets of Jerusalem and into this solemn uncertainty of their new community. Now that Jesus had ascended to heaven to the right hand of the one he called Father, all they could do was wait. Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of his Father. And that promise was this: they would be empowered by the coming of the Holy Spirit. As they waited, they prayed. When the doors of their prayer meeting opened and the disruptive presence of the Holy Spirit was made known, they were ready. The Holy Spirit in this story arrives with flourish and pizzazz. It is a gift straight from God to the church on the occasion of her birth. After all, it is the gift that gave the church its life, our life. And just as a baby wails in surprise at his first breath, this newborn church inhaled deeply of that intoxicating spirit and let out a resounding holler. Tongues of fire guided their own awestruck tongues to speak in the languages of every nation under heaven. The believers were no longer cloistered alone, afraid, and set apart from the world. They were thrust into the public, equipped with this holy power to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone and everyone who needed to hear it. They were, suddenly, church, prayerful believers with a mission, unified and empowered by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You cannot force profound spiritual experiences, but you can pray and wait. And whether you pray and wait in this zip code or on a tiny island with a big story, the promise is the same. God's Holy Spirit will be made known. I prayed and I waited, and the Holy Spirit was powerfully present. Now, I don't want to turn this sermon into a travelogue, but I do want to share three moments of many that felt infused with holiness. There was the day in class. Yes, even in Iona, we had class. We began by learning a refrain that got wonderfully stuck in everyone's head so that wherever you walked on the island throughout the week, you were likely to hear someone whistling the tune. Thanks be to God who delivers me. Thanks be to God who delivers me. Christ, Christ alone, come and set me free. Thanks be to God who delivers me. We sang it over and over, and then you'd again hear it whistled as you walked down the street. So after we learned that song and sang it as part of our opening prayer time, our professor, Wynn, told us about a sermon he'd heard recently. It was a sermon that kind of broke his heart. The pastor obviously meant well. He was preaching about hope. People always mean well when they talk about hope. This pastor talked about how hope is everywhere. For him, most especially in sunrises. He talked about how hope is a choice and how it's up to us to cling to hope. It doesn't sound so bad, but Wynn was gobsmacked. It's freaking Eastertide, he said. Sunrises are great, but tell me Jesus was raised from the dead. Tell me God is doing something more powerful than my despair. Tell me that the God of the universe came in the person of Jesus Christ and contradicted everything that is not hope. He went on to say this: my capacity to cling to hope is not good news. God's capacity to cling to me, now that is good news. These words came to me as tongues of flame. There was the afternoon I took a solitary walk to the bay at the back of the ocean. That is the name of the beach, the bay at the back of the ocean. I don't know who decided what is the front and the back of the ocean, but I was at the bay at the back of the ocean. I went there to pray through the list of prayer requests I received before I departed. And as I prayed for those many sorrows and many joys, I continued in prayer for this congregation and its members as a whole. And as I stood there, I was overcome with such a depth of love and gratitude for First Congo that I felt closer to this church than ever, despite the miles separating us. In one of his early epistles to the church, Paul writes of wanting the church to be woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Hear that again. We are to be woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Even from so far away, I felt a part of that tapestry of love woven together with this place and these people. And my heart was strangely warmed. And then there was the morning 1 week ago today, when our cohort gathered in a small chapel for worship. As we began a time of prayer, I started to cry. Not a few tidy tears. Once the floodgates opened, I couldn't stop. I had carried a great burden of grief on this pilgrimage, the loss of my father still so fresh. Participants were taking turns praying as the Spirit moved them to do so. And soon enough, one of my professors prayed for me. Friends in the pews around me reached out and laid their hands on my shoulders. My kingdom for a tissue. But apparently, all the tissue paper in Iona was too busy acting as the thin separation of the material and the spiritual. So I wiped my nose on my sleeve and savored the sensation of the Holy Spirit comforting and healing me through the prayers of my friends and the promise of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Three moments infused with holiness. They do and do not have much to do with the land of Iona, but they have everything to do with the Holy Spirit of God moving within and among followers of Jesus. You cannot force profound spiritual experiences, but you can make yourself available to receive the gift of Pentecost. Pentecost is not a one and done situation, something that happened once upon a time. Pentecost is our present reality. And all we need to do is wait and pray. Perhaps we wait and pray with hope, anxiety, cynicism. No matter. Wait and pray. Pray and wait. The Holy Spirit will come. Promise. Amen.